Hey, good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. 8:59 a.m., almost 9 o'clock, on Monday, January the 25th, 2016. I think I got that right. So here I am. I'm out. I'm walking. I'm bundled up like it's 12 degrees. It's actually like, well, the official temperature is 27. The temperature in my backyard was 34. Reality is probably somewhere in between. A big storm was scheduled here for yesterday, never arrived. I hurried home in the afternoon trying to beat the storm, and it looked really nasty as I was driving up 25 from Colorado Springs yesterday. But the prom storm never hit. Today is a school holiday, so the younger progeny is not at school. But I made myself get up out of the chair and get my butt moving, because today we need to start rebuilding the structure that has been so sadly lacking. So cosine. Oh, wow. As my Chinese friends would say, oh yeah. It was amazing. It was fun. It was great. It was terrific. I was down there in time for the 3 o'clock panel, which was good because I was supposed to be moderating it. I actually wasn't supposed to be moderating it. The moderator had a family emergency, had to cancel the con at the last minute. But moderated. It was good. It was fun. Crones. What was it? Matriarchs, patriarchs, gaffers, and crones, or something like that. It was older people in fantasy and science fiction, and how they're normally portrayed as sort of an assist category. They're the wise advisor who sets the hero on their path and then dies, like Obi-Wan Kenobi. Like some others that have appeared recently in film that I won't mention in case you haven't seen them. So, yeah, moving on. That was a good panel. It was interesting. It was fun. There was a lot of talk about how a lot of overgeneralization that I sort of grit my teeth and didn't mention. But the perception that, oh yeah, people over 40 really don't understand computers. And while for some that is entirely true, there are a lot of people under 20 who don't understand computers or what they do or how they work or anything else. They're appliances like toasters. How does a toaster work? How does the bread stay down? They don't know. Nobody knows. I do happen to know, but most people don't. So it's interesting. It was kind of a cool panel. And then I had a reading. I didn't really plan on doing a reading, but I did a reading. And with, what's her name, Shelley? Say Shelley Wright. And Paul Lell, L-E-L-L. And Shelley's a Christian spec fic romance, light romance novelist. She's got some interesting ideas. And she's a listener. Hi, Shelley. I enjoyed reading a lot. She was very nervous. But I enjoyed her reading. And Paul is not a listener. So I can dump on Paul all I like. But the reality is Paul's stuff is been around for a while. He said he's doing well. It was an interesting story, an interesting take. The beauty of it is that even if nobody else showed up, there were three of us there. We could read to each other. And luckily, a bunch of people did show up. So we had people to read to, even though it was like 5 o'clock on Friday afternoon before the con really got into high gear. Got to meet Jim Butcher. Jim Butcher's guest of honor. He won't remember me, I'm sure. I didn't get to be on any panels with Jim Butcher. I was on a couple panels with Connie Willis, but I didn't get to be on any panels with Jim Butcher. He's an interesting guy. He's a very interesting guy. if I closed my eyes and listened to him talk, I could think he was Alan Alda. He had that very MASH Alan Alda delivery. And his voice is like, it's almost identical. It sounded almost identical. The cadences, the timbre, it was a little bit surprising to see this guy open his mouth and sound like Alan Alda. It wasn't completely was not expected. So he's a nice guy. He's really nice. He hung out, unlike some I could name who came, did their thing and left. He actually hung out. It was not unusual to find him sitting in one of the outside one of the breakout rooms, holding court. It was quite gratifying to see. It was a lot of fun. I'm trying to think what else I did. Oh, role-playing gaze is inspiration for character and story. That was very interesting. Laura, the matter was Laura Reeve. She's got a trilogy. It's trad pub, unfortunately for her. It's trad pub. I think it's rock. But it is in mass market paperback. And in ebook. I think the mass market paperbacks are probably cheaper than the ebook. But she's got a series. Oh, what is her name? Major Ariane something or other. I can't remember. I have a copy of the book. I got a copy of the first book of her series, because she's very interesting. She's a fascinating woman. When I show up to moderate a panel, I have a pen and some sort of rough idea from reading the program what the panel's supposed to be about, and that's it. And that's really all I take to a panel when I'm the moderator. She had a folder of stuff, and had questions all prepared, typed out, ready to go. She had a whole sheet of questions that she wanted to explore about this, and she only got to like the first two or three, but I was so impressed with her preparation for that panel. I was like, all right, well, and I grabbed a sample. I looked at the beginning of her book, and it's really interesting, so I picked one up. Laura Reeve, Reeve, no S. Major Ariane, like Ariadne Kelso or something like that. Anyway, so I had a copy, I had a physical copy, I had a paperback book in my hands for the first time. I was reading a paperback book for the first time in probably years. I don't remember the last time I actually had a mass market paperback in particular. A mass market paperback in my hands to read. So I got her to sign it. We were at the author's reception Saturday night. She was like two tables down. Jim Butcher was mobbed. The rest of us were sort of sitting there watching his crowd and chatting amongst ourselves. But, yeah. That was kind of cool. And then, let's see. So I went to another reading, not Courtney Farrell, Amity Green, who's got a series. The first book is called Scales. It's paranormal, so it's not my genre, but it was, the reading was actually, she did a really good job. It was her first reading apparently ever, and she did a really good job with it. It was a very interesting premise. It was presented very well. If you're into paranormal, I think it's PNR. I think it was a paranormal romance, but it might not have been. It was definitely paranormal. You might check out Scales. It's not my genre. It's not my cup of tea. It's not. Not my book. But she did a good job reading it, and she did present it very well. The prose was quite delightful. And then, let's see. Yesterday we did a panel. I was on a panel with Connie Willis yesterday. First thing in the morning on a Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Which is, by the third day of the con, 10 a.m. is really early. There were a lot of people who were staying up late Saturday night down in the bar con. And there were a lot of rather bleary eyes Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. But it was on exposition, how to avoid the info dump. And the first thing we had to deal with was, what is an info dump? What makes an info dump an info dump? And why do you want to avoid it? Monk post, hello. Haven't seen him in a while. What makes an info dump an info dump? And how to avoid it? And why would you want to? And that was a very interesting panel, because it's a pretty straightforward construct from a technical standpoint, but a lot of people seem to have trouble understanding what it is and what it means and why might not want to do it. It basically is, I have to stop the story and explain to you what's going on, and then I can start the story again, because it's important that you understand what's going on. Yeah, no. It's sort of like saying, okay, this car is going to break down later, so I'm going to get into the car and I'm going to explain to you how the brakes work, and then we're going to leave the driveway. No. Most people are good with the as you know, Bob. Two people talking together don't generally tell each other things they both know each other knows. That's different from having the new guy come in and have to have it explained to him. That topic happens. And Connie pointed out another one, that people in arguments say all kinds of outrageous things. So you can get away with a lot of stuff if you have it be an argument. If they're fighting with each other, you can have them say almost anything. Which I thought was an interesting technique. I hadn't really thought about it, but she was absolutely right. So that was fun. We talked about prologues. We talked about why prologues are basically info dumps for the most part. Occasionally they're done well. Mostly they're not. And then people come up with examples. Well, what about, I guess it was a Gaiman and Pratchett book that has a prologue. And my comment was, if your name is Neil Gaiman or Terry Pratchett, you can do whatever the hell you want. And you know, it's like, we're not talking about Nora Roberts here. We're not talking about Terry Pratchett. We're not talking about Neil Gaiman. We're not talking about people who know exactly what they're doing with this stuff. We're talking about the people who are fumbling around and shooting themselves in the knee with an arrow on it. So it was interesting to have that sort of discussion that sort of flowed on two levels. Oh, which reminds me, there was another panel. It was a Why Are They Masters? That was a Saturday panel. Why Are They Masters? So it was interesting to some of the perceptions that we started with talking about classic books. Why is a book a classic? Why is somebody considered a master? Heinlein is generally considered to be a master. But there are a lot of people who don't like his work, so for them he's not a master. So part of it is perception, part of it is dependent on the reader. Not all readers will find 100%, I suspect even 90% agreement on who is a master. Asimov was, I would classify Asimov as a master, but I'm not sure everybody else would. I would call Foundation a classic. It's actually held up pretty well. I'm not sure everybody else would. So it was. But that was a particularly interesting conversation. John Stith was on it, on that panel. Joe Sokola moderated it, and Holly Snyder was there. She was on it too. So it was interesting to talk about. You know, so what makes a book a classic? What makes a book that is dated now technologically? That that you know, doesn't make any sense technologically. Why does it still work? And the answer is, well, it didn't work because of the technology to begin with. It worked because of the relationships amongst the characters, and that the story made the reader feel something. And people really haven't changed a lot in the last 500 years, and I don't expect them to change a lot in the next 500 years. So stuff that people care about now, that is going to be the same stuff that they cared about 500 years ago, is going to be the same stuff they care about 500 years from now. So looking at science fiction as a forward-looking literature rather than as a backward-looking literature, you know, why does 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea work? Still, and it does, it still does work. I read it relatively recently, within the last 5 years. It does still work. And it works because of the relationship. It works because Verne was very good at drawing the reader into the world. And it's like a time machine. You go back in time. And at this time, in this world, in this culture, in this context, this character has meaning. And that meaning translates forward. And at the time he was looking for, there were no submarines at that time. Now there are. And some of them operate very much the same way. Far from land for years at a time. So, well, months, at least months at a time. At any rate, it was a really good con. I had a lot of people come up to me and say, "Oh, yeah, hi. Geez, I listened to your books, or I listened to a book, or I listened to..." Okay, what are we doing? U-turn. All right. Shelley told me she listens to the daily podcast. She listens to Talking on My Morning Walk. So, good morning, Shelley. Shelley, right? Is that? I apologize to Shelley if I botched it up. I'm pretty good with names, but I'm terrible with memory. So, Twisted Roots was the book that she read for. So, yeah. Okay. Anyway, what am I doing? This geese. So it was a good con. I had a good time. I got that short story that I've been sweating over the last month. I got that out to some beta readers who came back with generally positive responses. So I think the story is going to work. I'm concerned about it because of what's going on in the story. And the perspective in the story makes you think one thing is happening when it's not really. So anyway, that might have been a spoiler. I'm sorry. So I'm going to sit down with it today and make sure that I've got the words on the page that I think are on the page, and I don't have words on the page that I don't want on the page. I've got to get it off to a copy editor here. Today, it's due on February 1st, so next Monday. But I've got some time, and it's really, writing the story has made me really reconsider Milk Run. Yes, I've got 44,000 words, which is basically 5 days' work. And I'm almost completely convinced that it's the wrong story. Having done the origin story, having done this short story, 7,500-word short story, I'm pretty sure that Milk Run is the wrong book. I think it's an interesting story, it's an interesting book, but I don't think it's the right one. I don't think it's the story that I need for the first book in the series. In large part because I really need to spend some time exploring the construct of toehold space with Zoya and Natalia before we get too deep in the weeds and before I can actually get into Ishmael and Pip heading out into the dark side of the deep dark. So, yeah, I think I'm highly invigorated. I am very enthusiastic about the possibility of saying, nah, we're going to start over. Because I think what I've learned about the characters, what I've learned about the universe, what I've learned about my... It's a noisy airplane. What I've learned about stuff in writing what I've written and doing what I've done, I think will let me make a story that people are going to want to read rather than the one that I've written. So, with that, I am at the back gate. Tomorrow's another day, and with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.